1 hour of hockey talk to kick off your afternoon. This is Hockey Central at Noon, only on Calgary's Hockey Station. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Doesn't look very good for Kari Rammo right now. We'll have more probably tomorrow or in the next couple of days. He will not be in the lineup tomorrow.
I'll be honest, I'm not overly hopeful at all when it comes to Kari Rammo's injury. That's head coach Bob Hartley last night following what was a crazy but costly 6-5 shootout win over the San Jose Sharks. The Flames lost Rammo with 3 minutes to go in the third period, did not return, and it was a freak accident, but didn't look good. He will not dress tonight, and we might get a little bit more of an update later on this hour or later on today, but that is just awful news. Rammo had been solid for the Flames for more than 2 months, .917 his save percentage since December 1st, and it was even higher prior to the 5 goals he allowed last night. But Rammo had been Calgary's number one goaltender. He had given them number one quality goaltending, and now out for the time being. And every indication I'm getting from what I'm kind of reading when it comes to the tea leaves, from what I'm hearing, from what I saw, I'm not hopeful that we're talking about Rammo coming back in the near future. And that's just, I feel bad for him because of how well he was playing. I feel bad for him because he was really putting himself in a nice spot, whether it be for next season, whether it be for a new contract with this team, whether it be for a trade, whatever. He was putting himself in a good situation. So I feel bad for him. And I feel bad for the team because they've lost their number one guy. Now, give Jonas Hiller a lot of credit because what he did last night and helping the Flames win that game was very impressive. But yeah, that's just bad news all around when it comes to what looks like a somewhat long-term injury for Kari Rammo. Again, don't know that for sure. We're waiting on confirmation, but I'm not hopeful as it stands right now. In terms of the immediacy, Rammo's been placed on IR, no timetable. So again, even though I'm not hopeful on it, doesn't mean that it's a guarantee it's going to be long-term. Right now, he's on IR, and they have recalled Yoni Ordeo from Stockton of the American Hockey League. Ordeo will back up Jonas Hiller tonight when the Flames take on the Arizona Coyotes. Hey, welcome to Hockey Central at Noon. Pat Steinberg along with you from Shanks and Crowfoot Terrace. This is our home away from the Dome. We're here every time the Flames are on the road, which they are once again tonight. 6-5 shootout win over the San Jose Sharks. Flames will look to make it 4 consecutive wins when they visit the slumping Arizona Coyotes. So the Flames, with wins in 4 of their last 5, the Coyotes have lost 5 consecutive games entering action tonight. 7 o'clock faceoff. We'll have it for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, starting at 6 o'clock with your Flames warm-up. Roger, Rick, and Kelly have got the call for you on Sportsnet West on television at 7 o'clock tonight as well. Lots to talk about. Crazy game last night. Unfortunate injury news for the Flames as well, and we bring in the color voice of the Calgary Flames now, Peter Loubardias.
Flames insider Peter Loubardias, brought to you by the Gemini Group. Imagine your life, your style. Your home renovations should be a reflection of you. Give your home the Gemini difference. Follow them on Facebook.
And Lou joins us now from Arizona. Glendale is where they will play tonight at the Gila River Arena. I keep wanting to call it jobbing.com. It's now the Gila River Casino Arena, and the Flames take on the Arizona Coyotes. But Lou, Kari Rammo goes down last night, does not look good, and just such an unfortunate accident that, you know, you really couldn't avoid. It just really was a freak play. That's just a really, really bad piece of news for the team, and just really too bad for him.
Well, there's absolutely no question about it. It came with 3 minutes left in the game, and Jonas Donskoy driving the net and Mark Giordano trying to prevent him from getting there in a tie game. Upends him. They have a collision. Seemed to hurt a leg or a knee, needed all kinds of assistance and help to get off the ice. After the game, it certainly did not look any better. When the coach's prognosis is, it doesn't look good. It's generally, you know how this business works, Patty. If it's a day-to-day thing, people won't say very much. If it's something that could be long-term or really long-term,
yeah,
that's generally the reaction that you get. So, I don't expect to see Kari Rammo anytime soon, and it is unfortunate because, you know, he just strung the 2 best months of his NHL career together, and it's going to be a really tough pill for the team to swallow, and Yeah, it's no good.
Well, and there's a couple of different ways to go. And before we go to some of the other players, let's continue focusing in on Ramo, because you're right. I mean, the 2 months that he's strung together since December 1st, now 2.5 months, I mean, he's been really, really good, Lou. And we're talking about number one quality goaltending, number one quality stats with a save percentage since December 1st of 917. And that got hurt last night by allowing 5 goals against the Sharks. So he's been really good for this team for the better part of 2.5 months now.
Well, he more than kept up his end of the bargain. I mean, both guys, he and Hiller, really, really struggled for the better part of 2 months. And then, you know, we got to December and somebody needed to step up and the team needed to step up. And, you know, he was a big, big part of that great run in December when the team went 9-4. And frankly, he's probably deserved more wins when you consider how well he has played even through January, and some, you know, a lot of those games kind of hung in the balance and he wasn't on the right side of the balance beam, and nor was his team. But, you know, he really has delivered. And like I said earlier in the interview, Pat, it comes at a time where, you know, he was in the NHL, he left for a few years to go back to the K, then he comes back to the Flames, his career hanging in the balance in the summer, he re-signs for 1 year with this team and didn't look good, ends up in Stockton. And sometimes timing is everything. Yeah. And for this poor guy, just at a time when he was, you know, becoming his best and at his most marketable state, I would suggest, this happens.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really too bad. Don't have any definitive update on Kari Ramo. He's been placed on IR with an injury. That came last night in a 6-5 shootout win over the San Jose Sharks. Now, we'll get to Joni Ordio, who's been recalled, in just a second. But, and I know that you guys didn't. In fact, you gave him number 3-star honors. I thought you were either going to name Jonas Hiller one of the 3 stars last night or give him the nod as the hardest working Flame, because he comes in about as opposite of ideal situation as you can ever put. Not only is he coming in cold with 3 minutes to go in a tie 5-5 game, but the Sharks just about to go on a 5-on-3 for full 2 minutes. Then he's got to go into overtime and the shootout as well. The Sharks hit, I think, 3 posts with him there. But he made all 7 stops that he needed to. A couple of them were of the really, really strong variety. But for me, it's just the situation more than anything else. To come in that spot and do the job Jonas Hiller did, that was really impressive for Calgary last night.
That's one of the, I'm not going to use the word amazing, but that is one of the most unique
and gutsy,
strongest, gutsy, you know, that's one of the best relief performances in hockey I've ever seen. That you can't have a more difficult situation than to be dead cold on the bench. The other goalie has played 57 minutes. The game is tied. And you come in facing a 5-on-3 against a power play that's already found the net 3 times. Oh, thanks a lot. Now you got to help try and bail this group out of this mess. And that's exactly what he did, Pat. I thought he made probably closer to 5 grade-A stops, 2 in particular off Logan Couture during that power play opportunity. It was really a terrific buckle down by the entire group down the stretch to get out of that mess. And I thought actually, you know, the home side had the better chances in the overtime as well.
Yeah.
And he makes 3 of 4 in the shootout to boot. So, yeah, I didn't know whether I was going in one direction or the other, but I thought, I'm going to give this guy a star, because my guess is he's going to go in that room and get the helmet from his team. So that's good enough to get a star from me.
Yeah, and that was a pretty impressive performance. And so Jonas Hiller now, at least for the time being, is going to be counted on by this team. And over the last, you know, 7-8 starts, he's been a whole lot better. And you have to give him credit for turning things around too. I mean, has he been number one quality? Has he been able to usurp Kari Ramo? No, but after the miserable start he got off to and then the injury, he's played a whole lot better. He had a near shutout out in Vancouver, had the shutout over Florida, and he's got, coming into tonight's game, 2 consecutive 30-plus save wins. So Jonas Hiller has actually been pretty good for him over the last number of starts.
Well, I think, you know, you go back 6-7 games now, and again, maybe the game against, you know, the other night, you might want to have one or two of those goals back against the Leafs, but, you know, outside of that, there's been way more good than bad in his game. Remember, coming into this stretch of his last 7 or 8, his save percentage was like .862 at one point in time. So, again, that's just, you know, that's the kind of effort from, you know, coaches talk, players talk, you hear it, it's the biggest cliche, but, and most nights, frankly, it's not necessarily true, but if ever there was a night that points and goes, gentlemen, we need everybody tonight to win a hockey game. Well, last night, the Calgary Flames in San Jose needed everybody, and without Jonas Hiller, they don't win that hockey game.
So they turn to Joni Ordio as the recall from Stockton. His numbers, not what you would call strong. Kevin Poulin seems to, now it's tough for me to say definitively because I haven't watched them play, but statistically, Kevin Poulin has fairly drastically outplayed Joni Ordio in Stockton. Ordio comes up with an .893 save percentage while Poulin's up at .913, but they go with Ordio, and I think more than anything else, you know, it goes right back to familiarity, goes right back to, you know, knowing him a little bit more, knowing a little bit more what to expect from him. And I don't know how much we're expecting him to play down the stretch either, but I guess we shouldn't be surprised that he was the guy they turned to as the recall.
No, and even his contract situation, I would expect, Pat, in some ways, although from a cap standpoint, that's probably more difficult to take, but you know more about that money stuff than I do. I'm completely on the same page. I think it is about familiarity. Is it also about familiarity in the sense that, you know, whether you're happy with this gentleman's year or not, or his progression or not, and I would guess at this point the answer to that question is not the kind of season that he's had. You also know that at this level in the last couple of years, you've seen him have, you know, pretty much a 9-game run a couple of seasons ago, a 5-game run last season, where, you know, for a stretch of time, he made a big difference. And that's what you know in comparison to the other gentleman who you really don't know very well, at least from within this coaching staff. So I'm not surprised.
I was, you know, and on overtime last night, I was wondering whether or not, from just a strict performance standpoint, if it might be Kevin Poulin. But, you know, the things that you talk about right there, it certainly, you know, you can certainly understand why the Flames would go this way. And again, I'm not sure how much we're expecting Ordio to play here anyway. All of it obviously depends on Kari Ramo's injury status, but It's funny, Lou. Like, we knew that goaltending was going to be a story coming into the season, and it was throughout training camp. Then they go through the first however long it was with 3 goaltenders, and then Ramo goes to the American League, and Hiller gets hurt, and Ramo comes up, and then we've had the 2 goaltenders here for the longest time, and now here we are again, where goaltending is the biggest story. We're 53 games into the season, and goaltending has been, from a positive and a negative standpoint, it has been one of those kind of constant stories from the beginning of training camp to where we are now.
Well, in some ways, even last year was, but for different reasons. This year, to me, it's been way more of a... Last year was a story every day because we were guessing all the time.
Right.
This year, it's been a legitimate story because it went from no good at all to pretty good lately, to both guys getting their game back together, to reminding you of last year, and now this. And I think the now this, and when we find out today, maybe before this hour program is over, and I would not be surprised if we got a little bit more of a heads up on the severity of this injury, and maybe we won't. Injuries are always dicey at best. But don't think the ball might only stop here. I still think that this team is, you know, has been in the market to try and, again, solidify this position going forward.
Right.
Maybe this gives you the impetus, you know, if you're in on things, to potentially delve even deeper into things, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a fair point, and it's a point that we haven't touched on yet. But yeah, with about 2.5 weeks until the trade deadline, that's a very interesting point as well. This might.
That's all I was thinking about last night on the flight and on the bus here. Is listen, all of a sudden you're 5 out of a playoff spot. You've turned things around. You're having a good month. There's a long way to go, and still lots of people to climb over and catch. But the race for this team is back on again, and I don't think anybody can really deny that. Maybe they can, and that's fine.
But yeah, if you're going to make a move, though, it has to be more than just about this year, as we've discussed numerous times. Like if they're going to go, it's got to be to affect the long term, right?
Well, and I think everything they're going to do is going to be about that, which is why my point has always been that I don't think, the only thing is that sometimes your plan is expedited by situation. So you still want to make the same kind of moves. You just, all I'm saying right now is maybe if you're thinking about it and maybe your plan is, okay, let's calm down and wait till June and, wait till the summer, this might, make you look a little harder, a little faster.
He is Peter Labardius. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is Hockey Central at Noon here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. The Flames won a third consecutive game, 6-5 in a shootout over the San Jose Sharks last night, and we'll look to make it 4 in a row tonight against the Arizona Coyotes. Calgary has lost Kari Ramo for the time being on IR with an injury suffered last night. Yoni Ordio has been recalled from Stockton of the American Hockey League. Lou, how did they win that game last night?
Which part?
The just when you look back at 65 minutes,
that, my friend. One of the goofiest nights I've ever been involved in.
That's why I wanted to ask it that way, because I mean, what a goofy game.
Well, I mean, as far as building the 4-1 lead, they moved the puck very, very well. Alex Stalock was not exactly brilliant on a couple of occasions. To me, San Jose looked like a team that had just come off a big, big win against the defending champs, which they had. And I thought the details of their game were really loose. And the Flames did a great job of exposing them for that and filled the net. And I'm sorry. And again, I got to be careful with it because I'm going to get in trouble. And I don't want to get in trouble. But there were certain people that I thought were too involved in the game last night. And that's not just on one side of the fence. I mean, period. The Flames were shorthanded, Pat, 9 times. San Jose was shorthanded 6 times.
Yeah.
Oh, in that game, there's no way to argue the fact that when you take 3 penalties in a row, that changed the game. And yep. You're taking them against a team who's been red hot on the power play lately, most of the season, and against your team, because they were 4-for-6 in 3 games against you. So it was just, I don't know, it was just, again, it just kind of fit the bill on the night. I think it played a part in it, for absolute sure. Neither side was happy about it after, I guarantee you that. Certainly know one side, and know the other side well enough, too, to know that, nobody was happy with how that game kind of played itself out within the game. So that's, to me, what turned the tide. And that's a really good hockey team with lots of ability. And, I mean, they're moving it around right now in a way where you think they're going to get one every time they get a power play.
Mm-hmm.
So, you find yourself shorthanded for 6 minutes at a time, it turns games. It's a fact. And it did. And then, they take advantage again early in the third, get another power play goal to take the lead. And the Flames, to their credit, Chris Russell, a nice read, jumps up on a play, bangs it in. And, well, we know what happened in the last 3 minutes, overtime and a shootout. So, yeah, that's one to mark in the old book, because you're not going to see one of those for a long time.
That's what we were talking about last night. I don't know if we're going to see that one duplicated here in the final 29 games of the regular season. That's one of those games where, you don't want mistakes, and coaches want to be as mistake-free as possible, But every once in a while, a game full of mistakes can be pretty entertaining. Like, if you were just from if you had no rooting interest in it from a Flames or Sharks perspective, and you just turned that game on because it was the last game on last night, and turned it on somewhere in the second or third period, you're like, holy, this game is actually kind of fun. Like, that's what it was. Oh, yeah. It was a fun game, and not one the coaches like, but it was a fun game for fans.
No, it was, and I think you saw a lot of that reaction from fans and people on Twitter. At least I saw some of that after the game, and just, you know, how people tuned in late and went, oh my goodness, this is almost like a train wreck I can't stay away from, but it sure is fun.
Now the Flames need to, as they get set to take on the Arizona Coyotes tonight, they do need to be a whole lot better than the majority of what we've seen the last two games. I didn't like a lot of what I saw against Toronto, but different circumstances, and last night clearly was a little bit too loose. So I think the goal now is, okay, you've gotten 4 points in those games, but you need to be better against a pretty desperate Arizona team tonight.
Well, and again, it'll be a different style of game. You know that. I know that. It will involve some patience for the Flames against Dave Tippett's team. Although, you know, I think the one misnomer about Arizona, right now they're really struggling, so it's difficult for them. But they're more, in a sense, than they used to be. I think they're more dangerous offensively than they used to be, but they're struggling right now. And you're right, they are desperate. And unlike last year when the Flames had their number, this year things haven't gone so well for the Flames against this team. And again, this is one of those nights where, yeah, it's back to back and it's going to be difficult, and attention to detail is really, really going to matter tonight, but you need a couple. And if you get a couple, well, in terms of that playoff fishing game, your reel goes out and somebody comes a little closer back to your boat. And that's what you can control. And that's why nights like these are so important.
Lou, appreciate it as always, pal. We will talk to you at 6 o'clock on the pregame show, but enjoy the rest of your afternoon in sunny Arizona, my friend.
Thanks, you too.
That is Peter Labardius. He is the color voice of the Calgary Flames. He joins us every single day to kick things off here on Hockey Central at noon. To the Flames and Arizona Coyotes go tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll have it for you here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We're on the air at 6 o'clock with your Flames warm-up. No Kari Ramo, no David Jones tonight for Calgary. Both injured. Haven't talked a lot about Jones. He went down in the first period, did not return, and he'll also miss out tonight. Josh Juris re-enters the lineup for Calgary this evening, so they've recalled Yoni Ordeal from Stockton, Ramo to IR, Jones also out tonight, and the Flames, after being relatively healthy for a good chunk of time, with more regulars out of the lineup, and the most significant there is Kari Ramo. And again, as we said to kick off the segment, can't really say I'm overly hopeful for the way that's going to end up going. I mean, we don't know for sure. Might get an update later on this hour or later on today, but I'm not hopeful that we'll be talking about Ramo coming back in the very near future. A couple of texts at 960-960. What exactly is a backup goalie for if he's not expected to play well in that situation? Talking about Jonas Hiller coming in, and that's a fair point. I mean, your backup goalie is supposed to come in and be able to do that if an injury arises. That's why you pay a backup goaltender decent money. It's why you have trust in him and all of that. That being said, I'm not going to, just because that is the case, I'm not going to not give Jonas Hiller credit, because I think Hiller deserves a lot of credit for what he did last night. I thought that he came in and did the job well, and, you know, for having to come in and face, specifically knowing he had to face that 5-on-3 for a full 2 minutes, that was maybe why it was a little bit more emphatic to me. And this one says, can commend Hiller on coming in under extreme circumstance, but third star Lou, come on, that's a joke. I don't know. I thought hardest working Flame was where Lou was going to go. Instead, he went with number three star. Hey, they don't win that hockey game if Jonas Hiller doesn't make a couple of 10 bell saves. So I get why he did it. Flames won that hockey game, and, you know, there were a lot of reasons. You know, like 7 crossbars the Sharks hit and stuff like that. But Jonas Hiller and the way he played and the 8 minutes he did was a big reason why they won that game. So I didn't mind Lou choosing him as the third star. And in the end, they're the three stars. They're an arbitrary one-person opinion thing. We're not talking about, like, Jonas Hiller's not waking up feeling any better today because he was named third star last night, nor is, you know, anybody else going to bed angry because they weren't named a three star. They're fun. We talk about them. Maybe that's a little bit too much stock being put into that. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is Hockey Central at Noon, live from Shanks and Crowfoot Terrace. In both locations of Shanks, giving away a trip to Vegas for the NHL Awards. Every Flames game from here until the end of the season, postseason or not, you can enter your name to win a trip to Vegas. It includes flight, hotel, tickets to the awards, and you also get a pretty cool Molson Canadian prize pack. They're making the draw in May. So when you come to a Flames game, first of all, make sure you go to one of the two Shanks locations. And second of all, make sure you enter your name to win a trip to the NHL Awards in Vegas a little bit later on this year. This is an absolutely crucial weekend for the Calgary Hitmen. It really, really is a crucial weekend for them. And we'll tell you why that is around the corner. This is Hockey Central at Noon, brought to you by Boston Pizza, here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
This is Hockey Central at Noon with Pat Steinberg on your home of the Flames and the NHL. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It is a crucial weekend for the Calgary Hitmen if they want to have any shot at winning the Central Division. It is stretch drive time in the Western Hockey League. The Hitmen have 18 games to go in the regular season. They sit 8 points back of the Red Deer Rebels for second in the division and 11 points back of the Lethbridge Hurricanes for first in the division. So if the Hitmen are going to have any chance of making it interesting in that division race, this weekend is going to be key, because it just so happens that the Hitmen play both those teams this weekend. Tonight, at home to the Rebels at 7 o'clock. Sunday, they welcome Lethbridge at 4 o'clock. So two really important games for the Calgary Hitmen. Welcome back to Hockey Central at Noon. Pat Steinberg along with you. Time now for the Western Hockey League Insider. And we'll hear from Brad Curl a little bit later on. He'll get us the latest around the Western Hockey League. But first, a look at the Calgary Hitmen, who have lost three of their last four games. They're holding on to number 3 in the Central Division right now, and a big weekend upcoming. Let's hear from forward Radel Fazlayev, who leads the Hitmen with 51 points in 43 games, as he spoke to Brad Curl on the Western Hockey League Insider.
Radel, let's look back to that BC road trip. Just the one win in the four games, but it seemed like one of those trips where you guys played a lot better than the results. Do you kind of agree with that?
Yeah, I agree with you and totally. And I think it seems like we had a bad trip, but actually I think we played really good. And I think we played bad first game and we lost. I don't actually remember what the score was for one, something like this. And then I think we played a really good and strong game against Vancouver, and we didn't get scored in overtime when we were short, and then we scored one game. We were happy, and then we played a really good game in Kelowna. I think we got unlucky a little bit. Their goalie played really well and made some crazy saves, I think, and we hit the post like, I don't know, 5 times, and we just got unlucky. But I'm glad we were playing good before playoffs, you know. And then game in Kamloops, we lost first period, we were bad. I think we were looking for our legs, you know, after a bust, and it was for fourth game in five nights, I think. And then second and third period, I think we played good, and I can be proud of it, and I think coach can be proud of our game. But we couldn't get a win, but as I said before, I'm glad we're playing that way before playoffs.
Big weekend for your group as well. You get Red Deer and Lethbridge. As a player, is this a kind of one of those where it's February, but it almost feels like playoffs right now?
Yeah, especially when we're playing against those guys who I hope we'll play against in playoffs. And it's really good practice before playoffs. You know, we're really excited there. We're going to play against leaders in our league and against Lethbridge, who's having a really good year this year. And so we're really excited. We're going to get ready today and play hard tomorrow.
Tell me about your season. Third season now for you in the Western Hockey League. You're leading the team in scoring. Individually, are you happy with the way things have gone?
I don't really think about it. Of course I'm happy, like I know I'm leading the team, and then but more important for me to play the right way, to play good hockey, you know, to show good hockey to coaches and to the Flyers organization. I think they're watching me almost every game, and it's really important for me to play the right way. It's not about the points, it's about playing, you know. And at the same time, when you play good, you get points, you know, when you play the right way. And yeah, I'm glad, and I think this is what I have to do this year, and this is what coaches expect from me to do. And so I think we're doing it the right way all together, all team, and including myself.
You look around you, and there's an awful lot of scorers on this team. I think it's close to 10 guys that have double-digit goals or more. Does that help you, knowing that all the pressure doesn't go through Radel Fazlayev? You've got a whole cast of teammates that help in the scoring load?
Yeah. But I still, I think, I still feel pressure that I got to do more as a third-year guy, and there's a lot of expectation from me, you know, and but I'm glad that all the guys step up, you know, when say where my line having a tough time during the game, and all the guys are playing well this year and getting points, so I'm glad how we're playing.
Look back to the World Junior Hockey Championship, a unique experience for you come home with a silver medal. How do you look back on that tournament? Maybe one of your career highs so far, I would suggest.
Yeah, I still can't forget it, and I think it was the best time in my life, you know, and I'm still thinking about it. I still see dreams about it at night, and so it was unbelievable, you know, and I'm still living with those memories.
Does that tournament help you now that you're back with the Calgary Hitmen, playing on that big stage where things maybe seem, I don't want to say easier here, but the game slows down maybe?
No, I don't think it slows down. I think because ice is smaller, and I think it's faster, but not as much skills as it was at World Juniors. But guys are working hard, you know, you got to play fast, you got to work hard too, and as I said, ice is smaller, so game is different a lot. There's less skills but more hard working, I think, so it's fun to play after like European ice. Come here to play against Canadian guys, you know, and against Canadian style. Unfortunately, we couldn't play against Team Canada at World Juniors. So, but I think I can play here against them, who was playing there against Hickett's Point, you know. I play with Sanin for the same team, so it was a good experience for me at World Juniors, and I think I got a little better, and it's a little easier for me to play here now.
The World Juniors were in Helsinki, Finland, a lot closer to Kazan, Russia, your hometown, than Calgary, Alberta. How many friends and family were able to watch you over there? And I understand that maybe that was the first time your family got to watch you play live in a lot of years.
Yes, on official games, my parents went there, and all my family, friends were watching on TV because every game was on TV, and all Russia was watching it, and we were feeling the support, and yeah. This is my third year here, and my parents are watching every game on TV, but they couldn't watch me live, you know. I practice with my dad. I play hockey with my dad at summer, but that's a lot of different, right? And so they were really proud. They enjoyed it a lot, and my dad was, because my dad is a professional hockey player, and he said he wasn't that nervous as he was at World Juniors when he was playing, you know. Yeah, he was super nervous, and I never seen him like this, and there's more pressure because I represented my country, you know, and huge experience as for them as well, you know, as for me. And
just a memorable, outstanding experience. But last one for you, the medal. Where's that silver medal that you won?
It's at home, and I brought it home, and I'm really proud of it. And I got so many friends and family coming over to my house. They were taking pictures with me, and I kept a jersey, you know. Each guy from the team signed it, and it's really cool, and I was really proud, and I think my parents were proud of me, and just great memories.
Well, I know I speak on behalf of all Hitmen fans. We're proud of you as well. Congratulations on that, and continued success here with the Calgary Hitmen.
Thank you.
Radel Fazlayev, the leading scorer of the Calgary Hitmen, 16 goals, 51 points in 43 games so far this year for the Calgary Hitmen. They're in action this weekend when they take on the Red Deer Rebels and the Lethbridge Hurricanes. Red Deer tonight, 7 o'clock face-off on sportsnet.ca/960, and then on Sunday, 4 o'clock against Lethbridge, and that is a Sportsnet 960, the fan game, 4 o'clock with Brad and Ken, ATB Financial, Calgary Hitmen Hockey. This is the Western Hockey League Insider. Let's take a look at the Western Hockey League and what's going on around the league as we bring in the voice of the Calgary Hitmen and our Western Hockey League Insider, Brad Curl. And Curly, a WHL superstar laid up on the shelf once again.
Yeah, his name is Braden Point. It seems as though we've talked about him a few times on this program, and you might remember he missed 19 games earlier this year due to a shoulder injury, an injury that was kept rather tight by Moose Jaw at the time, called it day-to-day, and day to day, turned to another day and another week, and away it went. 19 games later, Braden Point finally came back into the lineup. Well, the Moose Jaw Warriors had to finish their Alberta road trip on the weekend when Braden Point was knocked out of a game in Lethbridge. He suffered a big open ice hit from Hurricanes defenseman Arvind Atwal. He hasn't played since. Again, the Warriors are saying that it is a day-to-day injury, but Pat, anytime you've had that day-to-day comment and it's lingered to 19 games, obviously some concern in Moose Jaw. And Braden Point, there's no question, a superstar. The Calgarians got 58 points in 31 games. One might argue that had he played the whole season and not played for Canada's World Junior team, which left him in an absence from the Western Hockey League, he would probably be the leading scorer in this league. But for Moose Jaw, it's a best-case scenario. They're calling it day-to-day. We'll wait and see. But for the Warriors right now, a team that is 6 points behind Prince Albert Raiders for home ice in the first round of the playoffs, and those playoffs about a month or so away. And they're not automatically in either. Their cushion to get in is a comfortable one, but any length of time on the shelf for Braden Point will definitely impact Moose Jaw.
Now, that's bad injury news for one Saskatchewan team, but it sounds like good injury news for another Saskatchewan team.
Yeah, the Regina Pats can really use it, Pat. No pun intended there. The Pats have really had some troubles this year. Colby Williams, their captain, is out indefinitely. He had come back earlier this year, re-aggravated an arm laceration, and they decided to shut him down and put him in surgery. They're still hoping that he'll come back at some point, but they've had some injuries pile up on top of that. Those bodies are now getting back. Connor Hobbs, a Washington Capitals prospect, who's their best offensive defenseman, he's missed the past 7 games with a concussion. He'll come back this weekend. Adam Berg, who's been out since late January with a shoulder injury, he comes back. And Aaron Macklin, who hails from High River, Alberta, he's the rugged customer of the Pats they lean on for enforcement. He's been out since late January. So the Pats have had their more than fair share of injuries. They're starting to get healthy right now. Their playoff spot is much more comfortable than many would have thought a little while ago, because the Medicine Hat Tigers have gone on a horrific losing streak. They've lost 7 in a row, and as a result, Regina now owns a postseason berth. They're at a wild card spot, but by 9 points. So fortunate for Regina, they're getting healthy, and they didn't lose any ground, given that the Tigers have turned into a bit of a tailspin.
Yeah. Brad Curl is with us. He is our Western Hockey League insider. Joins us every Friday here on Hockey Central at noon as we take a look at some issues around the Western League. And Lou, the league has released 10 of its top 50 players of all time.
Yeah, we saw this come out earlier, Pat, when they had a panel that put together the top 125. It's 50 seasons the Western Hockey League is celebrating this year, and as a result, they're now whittling that top 125 down to the top 50. And the fans got to vote on it, and the numbers 50 through 40 have been released. And among the names, they're all recognizable. You look at the history of the league, and here are the names: Stu Barnes, Ray Whitney, Darcy Tucker, Duncan Keith, Cliff Ronning. And then as we top down 45 to 40, Pavel Brendel, Brent Sutter, Sam Reinhart, John Davidson, and Marian Hossa. Just a wonderful group of people, and probably the most recognizable ones around Alberta. Of course, Brent Sutter played a season and a half down in Lethbridge, formerly known as the Broncos. Had 189 points in those 107 games, and we now know that his Rebels will be in Calgary tonight to play the Hitmen. From the Hitmen's standpoint, Pavel Brendel was just a sensational rookie. Won the regular season scoring title with 134 points, led the playoffs in scoring in that big year that the Hitmen won the league championship in 1999. So you've got some present, you've got some past, and the most recent is probably Sam Reinhart, who is now having a terrific season with the Buffalo Sabres, just 20 years old. And Reinhart, there's no question, he was an impact player, 319 points in his time. So just a magnificent tribute to 50 seasons of the Western Hockey League.
Apologies. Apparently, I didn't even know I did it. Will tells me that I accidentally called you Lou during this hit. I'm a little tired today.
I've been called worse. It's a pleasure to be known as Lou.
A little tired today. I had no idea I did it. So apparently I didn't. I apologize. Brad, the WHL's commissioner, has a new contract as well.
Yeah, Ron Robison, who's been on the job since the 2000-2001 season. Anytime you've been around that long, people like you. And Ron Robison is very well liked. Any of my dealings with him, he's a true professional. And his contract gets a 5-year extension extended through 2020-21. So nice form of job security for the commission. This continues to advance the league further and further. We've seen under his tutelage an expanded broadcast partnership that includes Rogers Sportsnet, also includes WHL. NHL Live that allows all families to watch their kids from wherever they live on a computer. They've expanded the support services for the players under the Players First program. We've talked about that on this show. So the Western Hockey League, not a stagnant lead at all. They continue to move forward, and under the direction of Ron Robison, they're headed in a real good direction, Pat. Not a surprise that he gets a contract extension. The Board of Governors voted unanimously on that contract extension, so it was not even a second thought for the league.
Final thought, my friend, and that is on this weekend for the Calgary Hitmen, two crucial home games at the Scotiabank Saddledome.
Certainly so, and the Red Deer Rebels in town tonight. Interesting note, Luke Philp, who they're one of their big trade deadline acquisitions, not expected to play tonight, but could return this weekend. That's big for Red Deer. They've already been out without one of their best players, and Connor Bleakley, the first-round pick of the Avalanche, he's already missed two of his 6 weeks because of that broken kneecap. And Brent Sutter saying in Red Deer, hey, can we have any more injuries? They've had an awful lot of them. So the Hitmen and the Rebels tonight, and it's a big one for Calgary. You got to believe some people around the league saying that this is Calgary's opportunity. If they have any desire of finishing with home ice advantage in the first round, that's a must-win weekend for them tonight. They're 8 points back of Red Deer for second in the division. They're 11 points behind Lethbridge for first in the division. And it's the Lunar Celebration tonight, Pat. They have post-game fireworks. There's fortune cookies with prizes. It's good stuff. 7 o'clock tonight at the Dome against Red Deer, and then Sunday afternoon, it's a 4 o'clock. It's the usual Sunday fun day where fans can skate on Saddle Dome after the Calgary Hitmen host the Lethbridge Hurricanes in a big battle. It's a 4 o'clock start.
You're the man, Brad. Thanks as always, and we'll talk to you next week. Have a good weekend and have some good calls, hey?
Thanks for having me.
Brad Curl is our Western Hockey League insider and the voice of the Calgary Hitmen, ATB Financial, Calgary Hitmen Hockey on sportsnet.ca/960 tonight, 7 o'clock face-off against the Red Deer Rebels on Sportsnet 960, the fan on the radio on Sunday, 4 o'clock against the Lethbridge Hurricanes. My name is Pat Steinberg. It's Flames game day. So do we have an update on Kari Ramo's injury status, and do we have any lineup changes? Bob Hartley's on deck. We'll hear from the head coach next. This is Hockey Central the Noon, brought to you by Boston Pizza here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Proud to call Calgary home. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Hockey Central at Noon continues, only on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, the question on everyone's mind right now is, how bad is Kari Ramo's injury? He's been placed on IR after suffering a suspected lower body injury in last night's 6-5 shootout win over the San Jose Sharks. Flames back in action tonight when they take on the Arizona Coyotes. So do we have an update on Ramo? Let's find out from the head coach. How does this start, William? Where are we starting with the head coach here? Jonas Hiller is getting the starting net tonight, as we know. It'll be Joni Ortio backing him up. So what are the expectations now for Hiller? Because he's going to be the guy tonight and most likely for the foreseeable future. Here is head coach Bob Hartley.
Same thing. Hills has been, has been real good since he returned from his injury. So last night he was the story of the game and, 3 minutes in regulation and an OT and shootout. And, it was a big team effort, but without Hill's performance, we would probably be licking our wounds and getting ready. But that's how this business goes. We got great goaltending, key saves, and we racked up 2 points, and we're ready for tonight's game.
At the same time, you expect Kari Ramo to be out for a significant
time? We don't know yet. He's gonna get examined probably in Calgary when we come back. So I have no news, but like I said yesterday, doesn't look very good.
You've been coaching for a long time. Do you ever remember being behind the bench for a game like last night's?
Oh yeah, much worse than last night. Okay, last night was kind of a weird one, but I've seen some much worse ones.
I'm sure it's not really the game plan that you came into the building with last night, but at the end of the day, you got the win. Can that win bring this team together and get you going a little bit?
Well, obviously it's a big win. Together, I think that we've been together from day one. Sometimes, you talk about winning streaks or losing streaks. You play games that sometimes could have easily gone either way or, slip through your fingers, and that's one of the games last night. You look at any team that puts winning streaks, know, there's a few games here and there that you say, we dodge a bullet. And when you have go through a losing streak, you know, you say, gosh, we played so well, we deserve to win, but we don't get it. That's the beauty of this sport. So, like, last night, were we lucky? I don't think so. Like, we scored some nice goals. We had a great start. But looking, we put them on the power play. And with the skill set that the Sharks has, you know, we knew that we could only limit the damage. You can't shut them down. Those guys, like, they're so skilled. And, you know, you have Brett Burns on top. You have Pavelski on one side. You have Joe Thornton. You have Marlowe. It just doesn't stop. Like, so, you know, like, I thought it was a big character win. Like, we've talked about Hills before. Rams gave us a good game. Hills came in cold in a 5-on-3. That's not an easy task, and he did it very well.
The Coyotes have lost 5 straight. Is there a danger in facing a team in that position?
Every team, I don't look at records and I don't go crazy on this because every game is a different situation. So you just have to, the NHL regular season, it's not like a book, that you read the page and you say, okay, on this day, this will happen. That's why we play games. If everything would be scripted, we wouldn't have to play. We just have to collect the results, good or bad, but hey, we're here for business. This is a team that has been playing very well. They've been struggling lately, but ups and downs in NHL season, every team goes through it.
What happened last night? I mean, what kind of confidence that would instill in someone? You can't bottle that or create it, but yeah. Going into tonight, that must be a benefit to you.
Yeah, but Hills has been very confident, I feel, in the past weeks, has given us some big games. Look at the game that he's given us in Vancouver. Hills is on top of his game right now, and last night, like going in a back-to-back, he already knew that he was starting tonight's game. Like, we had sat with both goalies, and we had told Ram that he was starting against the Sharks, and against the Coyotes, Hills would start. So, like, it was part of the plan, and Hills came in last night, as we know, and played outstanding.
Has David Jones pushed your hand in any lineup?
Yeah, David Jones is out for tonight.
A tough back-to-back.
Bob Hartley following today's media availability, the Flames getting set to take on the Arizona Coyotes. So you heard lots there from head coach Bob Hartley. It was always planned that Hiller was going to start tonight, whether it was Ramo getting injured or not. No update on Kari Ramo. He's going to travel back with the team tonight and get checked out by doctors this weekend. So he'll be examined a little bit later on this weekend. And no David Jones tonight. He's also out. He'll miss out tonight with what we think is a lower body injury. And Josh Juris comes back in the lineup for the Flames this evening. That'll do it for Hockey Central at Noon, brought to you by Boston Pizza. Flames and Arizona Coyotes, 7 o'clock faceoff here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Lots to get to as the big show kicks off in just a couple of minutes. Some hockey, some lacrosse, and a whole lot more. Plus, Will has got the best sound bites of the week. It's all coming your way in the next hour. Hockey Central at Noon wraps up, and the big show kicks off next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Boston Pizza Pepperoni Talks.
I don't know why we need to keep talking about it. It's real simple when you get right down to it. You're either hungry or you're not. For the pasta or the wings or the pizza. Double cheese.
Make game night Boston Pizza Night and choose from over 100 menu items like pizza, wings, pasta, burgers, and more. Order now at bostonpizza.com for delivery.